Randy Neal, Bonneville County Prosecutor, is in studio with us today. He's running for district judge in the 7th District. Is that right?
That's absolutely right.
All right. Well, Prosecutor Neal, welcome. Good to have you with us today.
Thanks.
We did have your opponent, Judge Boyce, in a couple of days ago and talked with him about the race. And so let's just dive in. I think most people know who you are. You've run for prosecutor both times. You've won, and you're now running to be a judge for a 4-year term. Tell us why you decided to cross over from being an attorney to wanting to be a judge.
Well, I'm going to do the same thing, win, lose, or draw. I'm going to keep trying to improve our justice system. I think over the last 2 years, I probably recognize how many times I'm apologizing for our system to victims and to people that are involved with the system. And so I think the one thing that makes me stand out a little bit is I understand the urgency and the frustration that our community has about where we're at right now. And we have got to improve. And whether I'm doing that for the next 2 years at the finishing my term as a prosecutor, or whether the folks give me the chance to be a judge, it's the same issue. We have to improve our justice system. People, the community, have to have the system that they want and the system they deserve. So that's my intention.
Go ahead. I was going to say, so let's follow that up. What would you do differently as a judge that you feel is not being done right now for the community?
Yeah, that's fair. I think the biggest issue that we have, so we're very much into a negotiation plea agreement model for almost all of our cases. And to a certain degree, we have to be. I mean, we do 800 felonies here in Bonneville County alone every year. We'd have to have a 30-story courthouse, and we'd have to have, 30 judges in order to handle that if we were going to trial and everything. However, we have seen, and I think it had a lot to do with COVID having an effect on what our sentencing was, but we've seen a huge shift. When I came in 2003, for us to get a burglar off to prison for 7 years wasn't a big deal. Now, to get people off to prison for very serious crimes is really, really more difficult than I think the community expects. And so when they see these outcomes that just don't pass the smell test, they aren't appropriate, they're not a just result for what happened, then I think then the frustration really grows. And so that's the thing I want to be careful about, looking at these plea agreements as they come in and saying, are we in a place that we should be, or do we need to go back and recalibrate?
So I would ask you, and I think as a judge, and this is what I've learned in the interviews that I've had and studying this issue, there's a lot that's kind of out of your hands because there are several bottlenecks here. You have a lot more coming at you. We actually talked about this before you came on the air about how many of these cases are being thrown at you. Your team has done a pretty good job of handling that capacity as it comes in, but it's stressing the capacity and capability. We also heard, in fact, our interview with Judge Boyce, he said, we spend millions and millions of dollars sending criminals to places like Arizona and Texas because we don't have the prison space here. That's a matter of political will. It's a matter of money and the state's willingness to build more jails and prisons. And it's not there, at least not right now. So those things are out of your immediate hands as a judge. So how do you work around it and improve the system when we don't have more prison space? And same problem, what you just said, we don't have the number of judges and prosecuting attorneys that we need.
Well, and I think to a certain extent, it's like, well, are we in the 7th District going to be the ones that are giving up the results? Because our range is not the same as what they're getting in other parts of the state. And so if we're filling up these prisons, it's not from the 7th District. And I don't see where we're going to volunteer to be the ones to have these less just outcomes and consequences, because we pay a price for that. If you don't have adequate consequences, you don't have a deterrent. If you don't have a deterrent, you're going to see more serious crimes. I'm not saying we need to send everybody to prison treatment. There's certainly those folks that are affected by mental health, by addiction, by just the fact that they're not adult enough to be out there in the real world on their own. Those folks have to have a different approach. And we have those available to us. But that's not something we're going to put on somebody who has molested a child or has raped a child or has some of these serious crimes. We've got to prioritize. And so for that reason, I think we can't be the ones that are being the go-along folks and say, okay, we're not going to send our people to prison because the prisons are full. That's up to the parole board to sort them out when they get them in there. But if that person deserves a prison outcome, we can't be afraid to give it.
All right. So I think you just answered this, but I'm gonna circle around it and just make sure our listeners understood. We've learned through these interviews that there are no mandatory sentencing for sexual abuse, for rapes in the state. They're very limited, right? The mandatory sentencing on adults. So if you were the judge, what would be your judicial philosophy? Would you, even though there isn't a mandatory, are you feeling like these sexual assault cases need more just stiffer penalties is probably a better way to say that?
I think the community is being loud and clear, including the legislature. So we've just had recent legislation that has declared minimum mandatories when the crimes involve children and certain aggravating factors. I'm not saying that across the board, you know, I'm just going to be a hanging judge and it's going to be an individual approach. But on the other hand, the range that is reasonable that people will expect, you know, part of it is expectations. You can help your client, if you're a defense attorney, understand what's going to happen if they understand what the range is. Right now, I mean, I think that has been so skewed. And as prosecutors, we absolutely have a responsibility to try to change that. But we have resistance every step of the way. That's the system. We always having someone opposing us. And that's where we have to keep pushing that pendulum back. We're always going to have resistance. The judge is going to have to balance that. And I'm all about there are balancing interests. I'm not going to just say, all right, more prison. That's not an approach that's has the complex understanding of what we're up against. On the other hand, we just can't deny our system is not there. Mm-hmm. And the community and even the legislature are trying to hold us accountable. And if you don't hear somebody saying, I'm going to try to change it and improve it, well, then the status quo is going to remain.
We're talking with Randy Neal, prosecutor in Bonneville County, running for 7th Judicial District Judge. Randy, I want to ask you something that probably stung a little bit, and that's the survey that was sent out to attorneys in the area measuring your temperament compared to Judge Boyce's as well. He received fairly high marks. Yours were lower, and I wanted you to speak to that issue, the assessment of other attorneys in the region.
Yeah, I think what this really comes down to, so we've elected judges since the beginning, 1890, and it's always been election. But quietly, they are changing that to an appointment for life. You look at the number of judges who are appointed and then run unopposed time and time again. We have 41 out of 46 judges this time around who are running unopposed, uncontested. Four races in the whole state.
Yeah.
So the question for our community is, are we going to take back the selection or the election of judges, or are we going to let the attorneys select our judges? And so that particular survey, which, you know, was crowed that it was all of the attorneys in Idaho, well, 12% responded. And as far as our part of it, it was about 6%. And as far as, you know, I hear a lot of talk about, you know, plea agreements and whether I'm the king of plea agreements and all this. Let me put it this way. If I was as easy on plea agreements as they're trying to convince the community I was, I certainly wouldn't have the defense bar, you know, against me as much as they are. But we have to decide. Is the community going to elect our judges, or are we going to let the appointment system, which is heavily influenced by the attorneys, decide who's getting on the bench?
Yeah. All right. Do you have a website for this?
Kinda. I mean, I've got a Facebook that's Randy Neal 2026, but I'm, you know, my record's out there. Anybody who wants to figure out, you know, what I'm about can look at the 4 years that, you know, I've been as prosecutor. I think it's pretty clear where I stand and people know me. And, you know, this, I don't think this is a qualification. One of the things you mentioned about when they were doing all ones and fours, I mean, they were even talking about, you know, legal knowledge and legal ability. Well, you know, I'm one of the most successful trial attorneys in Eastern Idaho, and you can't disagree with that. I think people understand what my qualifications are. That's not what's going to be different between the choice here. The difference in the choice is who's going to improve that system, who understands the urgency of doing that. And second, are we going to elect judges or not? Because if we don't have choices in elections for judges, then it's going to default to other people are going to pick your judges for you.
All right. 4 days left. Good luck to you, Randy Neal. We appreciate you coming in.
Well, good luck to all the other candidates. You have to still...